We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show.
It's all John about Murphy. Who you know, man. It's all about who you know.
John Murphy and Donald Jones. We know this guy. He joins us on set. Head coach of the Buffalo Bills, who's just a day or two away from celebrating the one-year anniversary of his employment here at the Buffalo Bills. A year ago this time, you were probably in a frenzy, right? Doing interviews, talking to the Buffalo Bills.
A year ago this time, I was, flying back from Florida after talking with ownership, Terry and Kim, and had been offered the job and had accepted the job, and then it was just getting myself and my family organized to come up here for our press conference.
It was a great day. You know, we yesterday on the show, Sean, we frequently do polls on Twitter and try to engage listeners, and our poll yesterday was, what was the most important, the most significant thing Sean McDermott did in his first year as head coach? We offered a couple of suggestions, one of them and the playoff drought. One of them was start to lay the foundation for a new culture. One of them was survive that three-game losing streak. Have you given – I know you're not in reflective mode yet. You've got work to do. But have you given that much thought, like maybe your most significant accomplishment of year one on the job here in Buffalo?
Well, working with Murph, I think.
There
I think
you go.
With you,
know what?
You know?
Huh? Right that's at the top of Donald's list, too.
Yeah, that's right. It is at the top of
my list. It's a big achievement for me. I mean, just to be able to be next to you guys, rubbing elbows.
Yeah.
You know. I would just say, really just – I don't think there's anything specifically other than just to embed into what we're doing, just being a part of our great team here in our building, and then just to get my family up here and to have them situated now a year into the job, or just about a year, as you mentioned, into the community and into their schools and sports. And I'm just really looking forward to settling in a little bit as much as we can.
The drought had a life of its own. It was kind of like a dragon that you slayed
17 years.
A couple of weeks, right? It did. It was like it had a life of its own.
Yeah, I know Russ Brandon mentioned, a huge anvil had been thrown into Lake Erie, and that's a heck of an analogy, I guess.
Yeah.
But just the energy around this city over the last couple of weeks, just incredible. To see our fans and to see the reactions on Twitter and the different videos. Was just amazing to watch.
You know, I said this to the guys after you guys got into the playoffs. When we watched the video in the locker room, everybody's like, yeah, everybody's going crazy. And you turn around and first it looked like you wanted to react, and then you turn around and just walked away like, nah, hold on, let me just keep it calm real quick. Because the game wasn't over, number
one.
Yeah,
you know, it wasn't. And that was the little bit of the tricky part was to make sure that we all understand there was still, I believe it was 44 seconds left after that, after they scored. And what an incredible! I'm watching it now. What an amazing moment! And but as a head coach, even when we entered the locker room after our game, it could have gone either way. So I had to be prepared to go with one speech or another speech based off of the situation.
That's hard to do, right? Concession speech or victory speech? That's a tough one.
Right.
Were you surprised at the depth of emotion that accompanied that moment, not just on your team but in the community?
No. I really wasn't. Knowing or having gotten to know this fan base and our football team, it's a group that takes things to heart. They're passionate, and I hope our players played that way and that our fans saw how our guys approached every week and how they played. To me, it's important that we really resemble our community and our great city here in Buffalo.
Coach, can you talk a little bit about, we hear so much from you, especially about the culture and changing the culture. Is the culture, can you break that down to me? Is it a winning culture? Is it a hard work culture? A mixture of everything? I mean, what is the culture for you in your eyes?
Well, I think, and I've talked about this formula before, but just in general, when you can bring in the right types of people or keep the right types of people, and some of that we did maintain, and you can add, or when you do that, you have a chance to have culture, right? The bigger part of culture to me is the chemistry, the resulting chemistry that you have a chance to have if you have great culture. And we had that on our football team, and I think that's what gave us a chance to be successful.
Now, Murph is he has a few questions for you, but we were just talking about college football, and if you have a chance to watch college football, obviously with the draft coming up, how hard is it for you to, when you watch college football and you see, like, some talented dudes out there, dudes that are some dogs on the field, you're like, you know what, he could truly help this team. But he might have something in his background, you know? How hard is it for you to truly pass up on that kid because of he might not really fit into what we're trying to do here?
Well, fit is huge. One of the things, as you mentioned earlier, what we've been able to do is establish some form of standard, some form of culture And you have to do that, and you have to do it every year because it changes, because the teams change every year from one year to the next. You know, that said, if you do have some form of culture and you do have some form of leadership, player-driven leadership, you're able to expand the window a little bit more from one year to the next.
Is the culture in place now, or was it in 2017, or do you – I mean, do you pick up where you left off last year, or do you have to restart next year?
Yeah, there are areas, I believe, where you can build off of what we did this past season. That said, firsthand experience in Carolina, going to a Super Bowl one year, weren't able to re-sign certain players. Certain players were allowed to walk, for better or worse. Mm-hmm. Great lesson I learned firsthand, that cultures change from one year to the next. So there is an element of building upon what we did this year, in a lot of ways, culture being one of them. But there's also an area where you're almost starting from scratch again.
Yeah. You and Brandon, excuse me, had to make some, I'm sure, difficult decisions about culture versus talent. You traded away some talent. What were the factors, or where do you strike the balance between we think this guy is a good fit, as opposed to we think this guy is a really talented player?
Yeah, it's a fine balance, as you mentioned. There's a sweet spot in there somewhere, and it starts with our scouting department. Brandon and his staff do a phenomenal job. They work their tails off to find us players that fit our DNA. And it doesn't mean they all have to be a certain or look a certain way or act a certain way. That's not what putting a great team together is all about. It's really like putting together a great recipe. One addition affects another addition, and one subtraction affects the overall taste of things. So you saw that through this year. Now, hopefully, next year we're not doing as much as we did this year. But there's always a add, subtract, so you get it just right.
With Sean McDermott, the Bills head coach, in studio with us for a couple of more minutes. The season just ended Sunday in I'm sure, very disappointing fashion. How did you address your team on Monday of this week about what we think of yesterday's game as opposed to what do we think of the season? In other words, how big a factor was the disappointing loss in the wild card game in your overall assessment of what this season was about?
Well, you know, it's never easy to lose the last game of the year, and all but one team is going to do that this season, like every season. So it stung, and it continues to sting, and it'll probably sting even more a little bit. I'll be reminded of it this weekend and when I turn the games on.
Right.
But we learned a lot of valuable lessons in that experience, and it was great to have our young players in that type of environment, that type of playoff atmosphere. I would say we're disappointed but not discouraged, and probably the best way that I can describe it. And it's a continual pursuit of our vision, and we're not going to rest until we get there, and there's a long way to go.
Hey, Sean, one of the things that unfortunately came out of Sunday's loss was the accusation from the Jaguars' Yannick Ngakoue about Richie Incognito and a slur on the field. You and Brandon said that that's been investigated, looked at by the league. Have you heard anything back yet? What do you know about that?
Well, I have not. Brandon's more of the lead on that. You know, I've been working with Derek on that, our PR director. You know, overall, just an unfortunate situation. Anytime things like this come up, these are sensitive situations, and just very unfortunate overall. And I would say, you know, I've heard the reports also about that's what we were coaching or something along those lines. And in fact, the real honest truth is what we coached that week was to be poised, because we knew anytime you're in playoff and in a playoff game, very intense situation, and in fact, going against their defense, they were a team that liked to get a little chippy, and we felt like it was important to address our players and say, listen, let's not beat ourselves. And so we talked a lot during the week about poise.
In fact, another thing that came out of the game was just 3 points on the scoreboard. I wonder, where do you begin to address, you know, the offensive shortcomings, not just in that game, but through the course of the season? Is it scheme? Is it personnel? Where do you even begin to look at that this year?
Well, you know, there were some things we did well on offense, and I think you got to start there and say, hey, let's make sure we build on what we did well, and then address areas where we didn't meet our expectations. So, and that means the whole team as well, offense, defense, and special teams. And that process has really already begun, and we'll meet as a staff on our roster tomorrow and really build a case file on each and every one of our players, from how they are on the field to how they are off the field, medically, as well as strength and conditioning. So we are really maximizing our roster.
Now, players get to step away a little bit now for maybe a couple of weeks before they might get back into Pilates or whatever they do in the off season, you don't necessarily get to step away. I mean, you go right into, we got to evaluate our team, then we're probably looking at the rest of the teams throughout the league to evaluate there, see who might be on the streets, all of that stuff. Do you ever get a chance, or do you even want to step away before you have to dive fully into free agency and the draft?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, you know, it's hard to step away, but I have to step away a little bit to reset, recharge, and also I need to reconnect with my family and
right.
be a husband, be a father, and a son and a brother. I mean, mm-hmm. that's important, too, and the proper balance in life. So, you know, they've given me so much support during the year that I've got to also do my job on that end as well. Right. So, you know, we do get away a little bit. It's going to be hard for me to stay away because until the job's done, and it never really actually gets done totally, you know, I'm going to stay aggressive in our pursuit of what we're trying to get done here.
Hey, Sean, what was the biggest surprise for you in your first year as NFL head coach?
Probably just the media obligations with guys like you. And
people say that.
You know what? There's a lot of – I don't know that there was a surprise. I've been asked that question before, and I've spent a lot of time preparing for this job through the years and then on a daily basis. So there was a lot of things that I knew would come up, not knowing at times to what extent. But probably, you know, I think the biggest adjustment is just the 24-hour-a-day on-call, mm-hmm. if you will, type of assignment. But that's what happens. You get calls in the middle of the night. You get calls when you're in the middle of dinner with your family on a Friday night, and you're hoping to get a little bit of time. And I don't want to say it was a surprise, but it's probably the biggest adjustment from a life and quality of life standpoint. Yeah. But that's what I signed up for. I love it, and I'm ready for the challenge next season.
How big of a difference was it coming from being a defensive coordinator, your head in the sheet now in the play calls, calling defenses, to now you've gone through a full season as a head coach and knowing when to throw the challenge flag and things like that? You prepare for it, but it's not something you've necessarily had to do in the past.
Yeah, you know, one of the things you learn in that situation is that until you're the guy having to do it, it's not as easy as it looks.
Yeah.
That said, you know, there's some things we did well in those situations. There's some things that – some valuable lessons that I learned going through it the first year that I'm going to try and be better at in the second go-around. So it's all about a growth mindset and you know, really trying to continue to improve every day, every week, every year, and that's true of our entire football team.
As far as managing the game, when you look at that and what you might want to change, can you do more? I mean, is it possible to put more on your plate, or maybe you look to do less and maybe back away from a couple of things and focus on more things?
Yeah, there's a fine line in there, just like there is with every job. I mean, if you try and over-prepare, sometimes you end up missing things that – or if you hold on too tight, you end up missing things that you shouldn't have missed or over-analyze things. So, you know, I'm sure I'll find my sweet spot as we continue to move forward and I get the experience that I've gotten this past season and moving forward. And just like I did as a position coach and I did as a coordinator, you tend, if you do things the right way, if you handle the job the right way, I believe you tend to get better with experience.
You know, you talk about being a position coach, a coordinator. Now as the head coach, we had Jordan Poyer on. And he was saying how, you know, we were talking about how you go around all of the different positions. And I was like, well, does he come and mess with you guys a little bit more because he plays safety? You know, is it hard for you now to have to step away from everything? Do you find yourself on the defensive side or even in the DB room a little bit more?
Well, yes and no. I think, you know, I want to make sure I stay balanced. To be equally balanced across all positions, across all three phases is honestly impossible.
Yeah.
I also don't want to be known as just a defensive head coach. I think as a head coach, you act in some ways as a CEO mm-hmm. over the entire unit. So I think that's important that I give my defensive perspective also to the other two phases. And that said, I know my strength and the best that I can do in terms of adding value to one side of the ball would be to the defensive side.
Hey, Sean, what, if anything, are you most proud of that your team did this year or something, or just the way they approached this year? Anything?
Yeah, I would say overall that just establish a standard of winning, winning not just on the field, but the habits that equate to winning, the habits that happen during the week and the way we carry ourselves, the way we dress, the way we travel when we go to away games. You know, the way we handle ourselves in the community, I think that not that it wasn't there before, it's just developing a more consistent standard,
right.
and then that showed up on the field as well. And so I think, you know, re-energizing maybe this city by what we did and knowing also that our work's not complete yet.
When you look back at that three-game losing streak in the middle of the season, and then the whole, you know, decision with the quarterback switch and all of that stuff. Now, as you look back and you might have a 10 minutes to reflect on the season, and you say, man, that was a low point in this year. You know what I mean? Every season you have ups and downs, but that one was – it was bad at that point. I mean, I was thinking, how do they come back from this? This is pre-game, pretty rough right now.
Pre-game Kansas City, November 26th, morning of November 26th, I'm thinking, this is it. This is the season. This is the turning point. You'd lost three in a row. Went back to Tyrod. That was a tough spot you were in that morning.
Yeah, I've been there before. And that's you know, when you prepare the right way, and I've been fortunate enough to be around a couple great coaches in my career to this point, so – one of the great things that Andy Reid modeled to me was never to panic, stay with the plan, adjust it where necessary, and get your team right back on track. And as you asked me earlier, what were some of the great moments? I thought that was a great moment for us in how our team stayed resilient and battled and went to a tough place to play, a team that won the AFC West and came out on top. So a lot of valuable lessons and a lot of foundation laid this year that our players now can share with the new players that we do bring in and say, hey, this is how we do it. It's not that way. This is how we do it, and this is why.
You'd probably like to hear this. I had a cup of coffee that morning in Kansas City with Bill Polian, our friend of both of us, and he basically was patting me on the back saying, don't worry, it's all going to be okay. Now I've seen him twice, and he said, I told you it was going to be okay.
That's right.
He's not afraid to say that. I want to ask you about a couple of weeks after that, we had a great guest on the show, Daryl Strawberry, the former Major League All-Star, Daryl Strawberry, who you and your team brought in to speak to the team before the Colts game. It was back second week of December. I know he worked a little bit with your chaplain, Len Vandenbos. He had something. I want you to listen to what he said. He told us something on the show that I found somewhat remarkable. This is Daryl Strawberry back on our show back on December 11th.
I really like what the Bills are doing here. I really like the fact that they are bringing spirituality into the guy's life and some faith to be able to help the guys build some type of character. Because you think about it, the guy come out, he's 21, 22 years old.
That's right.
They still have a lot to learn. I don't care how great you were in college, but when you get to this level, it's different.
Daryl Strawberry back in December, Coach, and I've been meaning to ask you this. That is an important component, it seems to me, from the outside looking in, an important component of the type of program you're trying to build here, spirituality, huh?
It is. It absolutely is. And you know, as we invest in our players, we want to make sure we invest in not only the physical part of our players but also the spiritual part of our players and their minds. And we do, I believe, a good job with that in those three areas. So that they don't – not that this is a country club type setting, but they shouldn't – want or need or lack for anything in terms of providing them with the resources. And Terry and Kim do a phenomenal job with this of investing and giving them everything they need. And so the spiritual side of it is just one facet for us. And, you know, I've heard it mentioned before, and I believe in this, that, yes, we are we're process-driven, but we are also relationship-driven as well, you know, and relationship-focused. So that's part of this. There's a personal side to each and every one of our players, and they need to know that we care about them as men first, and then that we also care about them also on the field.
I keep thinking it has something to do with you and your team. Your players said it way back at training camp about love. You were talking about loving each other. And I told you back in August, I'd never heard a football team talk about love.
Are you trying to say, John, right now that you love me? Is that what you're trying to say?
I love you, man. No, but I
– Are we making you uncomfortable?
No, it's all good.
He's in the middle.
It's my work.
I'm right in the middle of it.
That's it.
It's all good.
But that's what it should be. I mean, listen, we spend a lot of time together, right? And you hear people say family, break it down on family. Well, what does that mean? You know, and my love for you – should be so great that I'm not going to let you down. So because of that, we don't need a whole bunch of rules and this and that. Be here at this time. Yeah, we've got some of that too. But I love you so much from an accountability standpoint that I'm not going to let you down or your family down by what I do outside this building, by how I live my life. And I'm going to be here on time because of my feelings for you.
How much do you preach to your team? It's one thing for the guys in the locker room to love each other. We need you guys to love each other and bond. But it's another thing. You guys need to make sure that you are spending the time with your family, spending the time with your wives, your kids, all of that stuff. Because if you're not, and that's now affecting you, it's going to affect this locker room as well because you're not focused because all you can think about is, something's going wrong at home or something like that.
Well, that's huge. And, I think the Bills do a phenomenal job with allowing – families to be involved. And, one of the things we did this year was have some of the coaches and the football operations staff and their families come in on Tuesday nights for dinner. I know what it's like as a position coach to not see my family for going on 3-4 days at a time. And, And sometimes just being able to put eyes on your kids or put eyes on your wife, significant other, whatever it may be, gives you a little bit of a boost from an energy standpoint. It's a long season, and having that, you're right, having that proper balance is important. And also the energy that comes along with that. At the end of the day, I'm not out there playing. It's the players that are out there playing. And so when the players come in on Wednesday mornings, we have to have the proper amount of energy to get them going.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Coach, thanks for this. We love spending a few time. I know that the schedule has calmed down a little bit for you in particular. We're always here, so if you have extra couple of minutes, come on down.
Yeah, you love them. I mean,
we
can just share the love. Let's share the
love. Too, man.
But thank you for this. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for everything. Mm-hmm. You guys did a great job all year.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, there you go. Sean McDermott, Bills head coach. Donald and I back in a moment to wrap it up. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.